إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Beloved Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, I have to be honest and straightforward with you. I've been thinking about the topic that we've been addressing for the past 2 weeks, the topic of manners. And I came to the realization that we have missed the most important component when addressing this subject. And this component that we missed is the practical aspect of al-akhlaq and manners. How can we acquire manner? How we can improve and develop our character and be upon the character that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and acquire the manners that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have. This is the most important part of the whole topic, because what is the use of us knowing the importance of manners while not being able to practice this manners? The purpose of knowledge is to apply it. We don't learn just for the sake of accumulating knowledge. Rather, we learn in order to practice. And this is how we can fulfill the purpose of our creation. So the question of today is, how can we really acquire good manners? Before I start handling this topic, or this aspect of the topic of akhlaq, let me address this situation, because in many cases we hear from people, or we hear people saying that this is the way I am, this is me. Ask anybody, this is my nature, I can't change. I get angry, this is me, that's it. As if the manners of people don't change, because there are some who say that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created us with these manners and that's it. So the most important question regarding the practice or the acquiring of manners: can people change? Can people acquire good manners that they used not to have before, or that's it? Whatever manners one have, he is to live and die upon the same manners. And the answer, dear brothers and sisters, is very obvious. Let's not talk about humans, let's talk about animals. We witness by our own eyes how animals, through training, can learn skills and they can acquire certain manners. Wild animals can be domesticated. Dogs can be trained to save lives. They learn some skills that some of the human skills. You can teach horses the way or the manner of their how they walk. So
It is a fact that even animals can be trained to behave in certain way, let alone a whole human being. So the obvious, yes, indeed, people can change their manners, people can acquire good manners. Otherwise, it would be senseless to have directions and teachings in the Quran and the Sunnah about manners. Because why should Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us والكاظمين الغيظ and praise them while a person cannot control his anger? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will praise those people for something that is beyond their ability to control? Why would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say لا تغضب, do not be angry if this is something beyond our ability and scope? So the first point is that manners can be changed. One could acquire good manners. How one can acquire good manners? The first means, and the most important means, is to know that this is a matter that requires training and mujahada. Mujahada requires that we launch a jihad against our own whims, against our own desires, against our negative characteristics, against our hawa. So the point is, either we surrender to our negative characteristics and our hawa and whims and base desire, or we be control of ourselves, we be the captain of our soul and the sailor of our ship. Either we be enslaved by our own selves, or we employ ourselves and submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this jihad is the best form of jihad. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mujahidu man jahada hawahu fi dhatillah. That the true warrior, the true mujahid, is he who fights his own whim for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we lose this battle, there is no sense for any victory that we achieve after that, because it is a prerequisite for every righteous deed that we do it with a pure soul, with a pure intention. And this cannot be achieved except when we are victorious in our first battle, and that is the battle against our own heart. So dear brothers and sisters, the way is to have mujahada, to struggle against our own hawa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive for our sake, we surely will guide them, we will guide them to our way. So since husnul khuluq, good manners, is part of the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we get engaged in the process of training ourselves and making mujahada, we will surely enjoy the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is in this ayah, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. The other relevant point is that this jihad that we are talking about is not a one-time jihad or two-time jihad. It's not something we perform once a week or once a month. Rather, it is something continuous, and it must stay with us until we depart our life, because husnul khuluq is part of ibadah, and we are required to perform ibadah until we die, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until death comes to you. So it is important to know that this is a continuous process, and it does not stop until one departs from the life of this world. In order for us to understand the issue better, we need to draw a parallel between our soul and our body. You know, none of us, when we were born fully developed. Rather, it took time, care, nourishment in order for our body to be fully developed. Similarly, our souls, they have some negative characteristics that can only be developed by nourishment, by nurturing, by care, and by time. And this nourishment is knowledge, knowledge of the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah, which means the teaching that are in the Quran, the teaching of course of Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And as we handle our body, we need to take care of our soul. You know, the main concern of a doctor dealing with a healthy person is to advise him to maintain and preserve his health. And if there is an ailment in him, then his main focus is to treat that ailment, to diagnose that ailment and treat it, because there is equally that in the law, for every disease there is a cure. So similarly, when it comes to our soul, if we are born with good manners, that's good, but it is our duty to preserve these manners and maintain them. And if we have some kind of illness or flaw in our character or defect, then it is our duty to be able to acknowledge that and identify that and acknowledge it and start the treatment. For example, if somebody suffering from arrogance, the cure of arrogance is humbleness. If somebody is suffering from stinginess, the cure of stinginess is to train ourselves to be generous and to give away our wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we suffer from ignorance, إِنَّمَا شِفَاءِ الْعَيِّ السُّؤَالِ, the cure of ignorance is to ask questions, to learn. So we need to identify whatever problem we have and start in the process of rectifying and correcting and treating that illness. So it's important again to draw this parallel in order for us to be able to cure ourselves in the right way and the right manner. And as it is the case in treating the body, sometimes we have to endure the bitterness of the medicine and the restraints of a diet. And similarly, when it comes to our soul, we have also to be patient and to endure whatever this mujahada requires of perseverance and of persistence and staying on the treatment that we are to follow. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and He has created our souls susceptible to acquiring good manners. And this comes through training and time. One cannot change overnight. Rather, it takes a training. Like, I'm the last person to lecture about fitness and sports. But it is well known that people do not become athletes just overnight. It requires training. It requires daily practice. And as our brothers who train to be good basketball players and people who participate in other sports. So one cannot really acquire the good manners overnight. Rather, it requires time and training. However, we are susceptible to change. We can change and acquire good manners. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ وَمَنْ يَتَحَرَّ الْخَيْرَ يُؤْتَهُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَقَّ الشَّرَّ يُوقَهُ. Which means that indeed knowledge can be acquired by seeking knowledge, by actually engaging in the means that leads to acquiring knowledge, by taking the steps necessary to attaining knowledge, not by dreaming, not by wishing, not by hoping that we are knowledgeable, rather by actual engagement in the causes that may lead us to be knowledgeable. And similarly, إِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ, in order for the person to acquire forbearance and tolerance, one should train himself and seek to be patient and tolerant. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, whoever seek the good, he will be granted the good, and whoever seek to be protected from evil, he will be protected from evil. But one should not stand still and not do anything about it. Rather, one should engage, and then, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا, those who strive in our way, we shall surely guide them. Those who strive in our sake or for our sake, we shall truly guide into our way. One time, some people came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They asked him some money, and he gave them. And then they asked him more money, and he gave them. And then they asked him for even more money, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them until he finished everything he has. And then he told them that whatever wealth I may have, I will not keep away from you. Meaning, I will give you everything that you ask. However, وَمَنْ يَسْتَعِفَّ يُعِفُّهُ اللَّهُ, whoever seek to abstain from asking people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of him. Meaning, he will not be abandoned, will never be abandoned by the one who created him. وَمَنْ يَسْتَغْنِي يُغْنِهِ اللَّهُ, and whoever seek to be self-sufficient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him self-sufficient. وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ, and whoever seek to persevere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him persevere. So the matter requires an effort, exerting effort in with sincere intention that we need to acquire a certain quality. Let's give inshaAllah an example. So has a problem that he talks too much. This is the problem. This is the illness. The cure is for the person to be quiet and not to say anything for which he may apologize or regret. So after we acknowledge, identify the problem and acknowledge that we have a problem, then we need to start in the treatment of this problem. You talk too much, then you need to be quiet. This is the solution. One should be determined that from now on I will not talk except if I'm asked to talk, or restricted to talk, or somebody asks me a question. And when I talk, I will talk enough to answer the question or to honor the request. And that's it. Now, if somebody did this one time, this will not solve the problem. But if one has just is true to his desire that I want to control my tongue, because my tongue may lead me to the hellfire, if one is true in this desire and he does it on daily basis, one, even though one may suffer in the beginning, may feel it very hard in the beginning, but at one point with the passage of time, one will be able to have his tongue in control. One very important, also helpful tip is that we never give up. If we give up, we'll never be able to cure ourselves. Now, all these points that mentioned, dear brothers and sisters, fall under one title, that is al-mujahada, that we have to engage in a internal struggle with our own selves in order to subjugate our soul and to control ourselves where we do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by displaying bad manners. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, it seems that this subtopic requires more time. However, I'm going to mention the rest of the means by which we can acquire good manners briefly, inshallah. The first, of course, is al-mujahada, and the second is to forget the good that we do to others. If I deal generously and kindly to someone, just do the good and forget that you did good to so and so and so and so. And this requires ikhlas, and we talked about this in the previous khutbah, so I'm not going to repeat much. The third means is to not have high expectation from people, not expect too much from them, and accept whatever they give us, whether in terms of material or manners. And this is the meaning of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, خُذِي الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. خُذِي الْعَفْوَ, take whatever is given to you willingly. عَفْوَ here means the whatever is given, whatever surplus that is given to you, whether it is related to manners or otherwise. وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, and enjoin what is right, وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and ignore the ignorance. Now, this requires that we accept if somebody come to apologize, we accept their apology. If they come to explain certain situation, we accept their explanation. If they present some excuses to us, we accept their excuses. We take them by whatever they say, by their appearance, or whatever they say, as opposed to investigating and penetrating to their hearts. No, they did not mean it. No, he said this, but he meant something else. No, accept the excuses of people. And one person, one scholar, was asked, how can I be safe when dealing with people? He said that you be generous with them, you give them whatever you may from your wealth, and don't ask anything from them financially. And you help them in acquiring whatever rightfully belongs to them, and don't ask their help to acquire what is rightfully for you, and be patient towards the harm that may come from them, and do not harm them. It is little hard, but this is how we can acquire husnul khuluq that weighs the heaviest on the day of resurrection, and for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward greatly. Arguments. One of the means to acquire good manners is to avoid arguments, because usually arguments generate hatred and animosity, and may leave the person in order to prove a point for which he lacks evidence to lie or defend falsehood. And if one has to argue, then should follow the Islamic manners, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّذِي أَحْسَنَ, and argue with them in a goodly manner. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised the person who abstains from arguing, even if he is right, even if he is right, because many times we argue to prove a point. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guaranteed a palace for the person who abstains from arguing in paradise, even if he is right. What about those who argue and they know that they are arguing just driven by ego and arrogance and nothing else? It is very helpful, dear brothers and sisters, that when we are dealing with people, to put ourselves in their position, even if we are talking with opponents. One of the ways that may help us to be fair is to put ourselves in the position of the person with whom we have a conflict. And this helps us to be a little objective and deal with the people in the same manner that we like to be dealt with, because we often demand from people things and manners that we don't offer to them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever likes to die, or whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him deal with the people in the way, same manner that he liked to be dealt with them. Also, we can learn a lot from people. If we hate a manner that people are practicing, we need to examine ourselves. Do we have the same manner? Because many times we have it, but we don't realize it. As the statement goes, that إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَرَى الْقَذَاةَ فِي عَيْنِ أَخِيهِ وَلَا يَرَى الْجَزْعَ فِي عَيْنِهِ, that one of you may see the smallest thing in the eye of his brother, and he does not see a trunk of a tree in his eye. Why? Because we it is our own self, and maybe we don't want to be selfish, but we tend to be selfish. And in order for the person to be objective, one should put himself in the shoes of his brother with whom he has a conflict of dispute. And whatever he hates that comes from him, he need to abstain from doing to his Muslim brother. One of the means by which we can improve our manners is to accept an-nasiha and not be defensive. We all agree that we are not prophets. We all agree that we are not really, we were not really brought up in an Islamic environment and learned Islam from scholars from our childhood. So we lack a lot of matters. There are flaws in our character. If somebody comes to advise you, listen carefully, open, lend him a hearing ear, inshallah. You may benefit a lot more. You may benefit more from an opponent than a friend who does not advise you. As a person who seeks salvation in the hereafter and seek perfection, one should be in pursuit of his own flaws, his own character defects, in order to complete, to be saved in the hereafter. So we should be happy that somebody is giving us a gift of the advice. Two more things I'll inshallah mention quickly, even though there are more to say in this subject. Dear brothers, there are two very important things. Number one, good companionship, good companions, good friends, because good friends, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalili," that the person follows the way of life or the religion of his friend. And we have a saying that "As-sahib sahib," that the friend pulls you wherever direction he is going, he pulls you with him. So if we have good friends, righteous friends, then they are a source of learning good manners, number one. And number two, sometimes by the bond of relationship that we have, bond of friendship we have with them, we may do good things that we don't do otherwise. Like, for example, a person may be a coward person, and he see that his Muslim brother and friend, he is in a trouble that requires courage, and he becomes courageous in order to help his Muslim friend. He may see his friend in a financial trouble and he is stingy. So by the bond of this friendship, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will drive himself more to give away and give up some of what he has for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people change. Wallahi, dear brothers and sisters, people change. We have seen people coming from drug dealing to becoming very obedient Muslims who follow the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People coming from bars, people coming from topless clubs, coming to the masjid and acquiring the best manners. This is a very vital and important matter. And I will conclude by saying of a poet, وَإِنَّمَا الْأُمَمُ الْأَخْلَاقُ مَا بَقِيَتْ فَإِنْهُمُ ذَهَبَتْ أَخْلَاقُهُمُ ذَهَبُ. Nations prevail as long as their manners remain with them, or they remain having their manners. The moment they cease to acquire these manners, they cease to exist. أقول قولي هذا.